We say good afternoon to Richard Fitzwilliams. How are you, Richard?
Oh, very well. I've just had a most enjoyable weekend in Burgundy.
Oh, lovely. You've been at the place of the Battle of Agincourt, which I think is somewhere near Calais, isn't it, somewhere?
You're absolutely right, and it was fascinating to see it. And also it's been interesting to see, of course, the films, Olivier's 1944 version, actually had the battle more as a colourful ballet. Mm. You don't actually see any blood. Branagh's was more realistic, obviously. It literally was a killing field. There's a museum there that I have to say is absolutely atrocious. It's so bad that it's closing, so I hope when it reopens, it does give visitors more of a view of what it was actually like. But you can put your head in a visor, and you can imagine what it would have been like to stagger as a knight in armour across the fields in the mud. I mean, you couldn't really function. It is very interesting indeed. And the very week, of course, where we've had the most extraordinary developments on James Bond.
Yes, I was going to allude to that because Boyle's gone, has he now, the director? He's creative differences, Danny Boyle, I think, said.
Yes, apparently. Boyle originally wasn't going to do it. That was 6 years ago. Mm. Then he was going to do it. Now, apparently, creative differences between him, Michael D. Wilson, and Barbara Broccoli mean he's not. We also had the statements earlier from Craig saying that he'd rather slit his wrists before doing it again, and he is doing it again. But apparently, Idris Elba has now come out tweeting that he's not going to be the next Bond. So it's all very weird. This doesn't do the franchise any good. What you see, I suspect, is Danny Boyle probably wanted to put his own imprint on it, and that terribly conservative. We saw that with Quantum of Solace, and we saw it with Spectre.
There have been a few times where I've watched a James Bond film and it's felt like it's broken a little bit out of the mould of what a James Bond film should be. But I felt like of years of late, actually, it's gone pretty much to a conventional way of doing things. So maybe that's the issue there.
Well, it shouldn't have, because Bond shouldn't have been to the 20th century. It's a cigar in the 20th century. Since he escorted the Queen's lips, we all have an interest in making sure that the Britain punches above its weight with world's most dapper who saves it, clad in a tux and sipping his martini. Of course, there are women who are real people, and there is also got a plot that has some resemblance to reality, even if you keep
Richard, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to. I'm really struggling to hear what you're saying here. I'm going to try and call you back if that's okay. So, just bear with me. It's just felt like it's dropping out there. So we'll try and get you back on air in a moment. Just hold the line there. Thank you. Richard Fitzwilliams is back on. Fingers crossed. We've got the yogurt carton and string working fine now. Richard, how are you?
Well, very well indeed. As we were discussing James Bond, I was just saying you could keep the Bond moths, you could keep the travel logs, and you could also keep the gadgets, but we ought to go to something that was more realistic for me, something with real women, real people.
Absolutely. I think it's got to go with the ages, and as many other things have done. You know, whether that's superhero stuff, it's kind of travelled a little bit with culture and society, and I think maybe that needs to happen. Okay, we'll move on to the films in case we lose you, starting off with The Black Klansman.
Yes, now this is a provocative film. It's an extraordinary film. I've never seen anything quite like it, to be honest, and originally, when it begins, you wonder whether Spike Lee's gone over the top a bit because he's got Alex Baldwin's portrayal of a fictional raving fascist. But this is from a talented and provocative director, a film to highlight racial injustice for the most audacious theme. Its plot is based on the memoir of Ron Stallworth, played by John David Washington. He was the first African-American to join the Colorado Springs Police Force in 1972, and even though he's a rookie, he intends to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan by contacting it by telephone and then using a veteran white cop, Flip Zimmerman, played by Adam Driver, to pretend to be him in meetings with the Klan members. It's extraordinary as a story, and it's based on a true story.
And the name of the actor escapes me from Star Wars, of course, in there. But it's an amazing story, isn't it? And again, I suppose we said this time and time again, me and you, Richard, what a timely time for it to come out as well, in all that's going on at the moment.
No, absolutely, because climactically, footage of the clash between protesters and the white supremacist marchers at Charlottesville and Donald Trump's callous reaction to the murder of the white activist Heather Heyer has the impact it intended. It's absolutely chilling. The extraordinary thing about this film is it's on three levels. It's Spike Lee as polemicist with an obvious message on the one level. Also, it's a bit of a thriller because it so happens extremist members of the Klan, which is anxious to put on a more acceptable face, are planning an arson attack. So there's that aspect of it. And also, it's a hilarious black comedy in parts because Lee uses split screens, so we get the maximum fun from telephone conversations between Stallworth, who of course is African-American, and members of the Klan, including its leader, the Grand Wizard David Duke, played very well by Topher Grace, who's convinced he's white. And there are hilarious moments here. I mean, it so happens Stallworth gives him his real name. That leads to trouble. And then when Duke visits Colorado, Stallworth is instructed to act as his police bodyguard. So he sees Zimmerman, played by Adam Driver, the name you mentioned, being initiated into the Klan, and they think it's him, and they think he's right. It's an extraordinary and amazing tale.
It seems to do quite a few more things than it says on the tin, then. It goes across a few different genres, by the sounds of it. So it sounds like it's well worth a watch. And what's your ratings out of 5 there, Richard, on it?
Well, the reason I'm going to 5 out of 5 is because certain scenes, there's an activist, Jerome Turner, played by Halle Belafonte, lecturing students about the grisly lynching of a black man by a white mob in the early 1900s. And you've got a first-class cast, John David Washington, wonderful saw, that would drive excellent to Zimmerman. Because it's so much a film for our times, it's also wonderfully cinematic, if a bit outrageous and sometimes bored. So I'm going to give it 5, just for the audacity of it. It's an amazing story, based on a true story. I left quite numbed. It's a visceral movie.
Yeah, it's the times when films have an effect on you. We were watching a film called Adrift. I don't know if you remember that film, reviewing it, Richard, where there's a couple that are lost at sea. And after watching the film, we felt really emotional. It's been a while since a film had gripped me like that. And so this has seemed to have had an effect on you. And to get a 5 out of 5, The Black Klansman, well worth a watch, according to Richard Fitzwilliams. That will do, Richard. And we need a few more 5s out of 5. We've been a bit low lately.
You're perfectly right. I have to be honest and say most reviewers have given it 4 out of 5, and it is a flawed movie because it is a bit erratic. It doesn't always work, and some of the thriller element of it, it's clearly Lee's used, shall we say, dramatic license. But this is a hell of a movie. It's got punch.
Good stuff. Well, highly recommended, The Black Klansman. Now, every now and then a movie comes along, And I get excited about going to watch it, and I hope and pray that Richard doesn't burst the bubble on that. And this is one of those films. It's called The Meg. So, Richard, what was your view on it? Tell us more.
This is a movie, let's be honest about it. This is a movie which will deliver for those who want to go and see it. What they want to see is a movie which has got life, thrills and spills, lots of fun. They're not looking for subtlety. They're not looking for characterization. They're not going to get Jason Statham doing anything other than mumble, which he does. And some of the action is repetitive. My goodness, it is. But overall, and it is too long, it delivers because you've got lots of exciting scenes. You've also got a lot of repetition, and I know, can't imagine the numbers of times director John Turteltaub saw Jaws, but it's a movie that's fun for the summer.
Yeah, well, that sounds good enough to me. It's been billed as, I suppose, the greatest shark story since Jaws. That's what's been said about it. And it looks like a kind of a cross between Jaws and Jurassic Park.
Yes, it is exactly that. And Jonas Taylor, played by Jason Statham, is a rescued diver who tries to save a group of scientists in the first scene but can't save the last two as he's threatened by some form of giant creature. And he's dismissed as having a pressure-induced psychosis by a doctor. 5 years later, he's called back to help a crisis because at the vast underwater facility called Mauna One, where Zhang, played by Winston Chow, works with his daughter Su Yin, played by Li Bingbing. They're having a lot of trouble exploring deeper sections of the Marianas and discovering the Meg, which is a megalodon, a prehistoric creature come back to life. And when you've got evil creatures like Jack Morris, played by Rainin Wilson, who, regardless of the natural life, wants to continue with exploration, and when you've got thrills and spills, the moment you see an individual in this movie who's in any form of vulnerable state, you know that there's going to be you know what appearing. And believe me, when there's a child all standing on the alone and playing with a little ball, guess what's suddenly going to emerge? Well, all of this is predictable. Yeah. I have to say that I was taking bets with myself as to which character would be killed off next. But it is fun. I mean, it's got the visuals that this sort of thing needs.
Yeah. Not your cup of tea as in the genre, I should imagine, but for those that like it, you felt it was well made.
But the characters are made out of cardboard. It's very cliched. I mean, obviously, when the shark starts attacking the bathers again, you get scenes that are reminiscent of Jaws. So much of it is. Obviously, it's got to be. It doesn't have the tension. The music is nothing like as good as Jaws. But to compare it with Jaws misses the point, because Jaws is, in fact, I hate to say it, over 40 years older. The facts are that this offers fun for the summer. Kids will find it pretty thrilling. It's a bit of very entertaining. You're not going to expect deep characterizations and a lot of depth and emotion, and then no time for much love, I'm afraid. So be warned, it's all action, and it's not always convincing, but it is mostly entertaining.
Okay, well, Richard, what are you going to give it out of five then?
Oh, good heavens, 3.5.
Three.
Three
and a half.
Fun, yes, it's fun.
You went a half more than I thought you were going to go, but anyway, fantastic. What can we expect next week, Richard?
Oh, well, next week we've got a fascinating movie which did so well at Cannes, and you'll find out why, Cold War, and also the new Emma Thompson film, The Children Act.
Okay, lovely, good stuff. We look forward to that. Richard Fitzwilliams, if anybody wants to find you online in the meantime, how can they do that?
It's www.richardfitzwilliams.com, and it's on Twitter at Fitzwilliams.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Richard. We'll speak soon. You take care. Bye-bye.
Certainly will. Bye.